Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Multitudes of people try to find the answers and solutions to the problems, the difficulties, and the issues they're faced with in life based on some denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, regulations. Others look for and seek for answers from other sources. But the great source book for us to go to in finding answers as we face the issues in life is from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. And when you look at the Word of God, you find in the Scripture that God created the home, He created government, and God created the church, and in that order. So anything that we discuss in this broadcast day to day, week after week, dealing with any of those issues in the relationship to the home, the family, the church, our politics, or the government, it's all found in the Word of God, and God gives us an answer for every issue or every question that we're faced with. Before we get into the monologue, the dialogue, and the discussion today, let me remind you that we are inviting you to worship with us this Sunday. 9:30 a.m. is the Bible study Sunday school hour, 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. worship services at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located precisely exactly 1 mile south of I-295. We'd love to have you. We've met multitudes of you by way of radio. Multitudes have visited with us after hearing us on the broadcast. We'd love to have you this Sunday. If you're looking for a church home where the Word of God is proclaimed without fear or without fault in any fashion, without any discrimination based on the authority of the Scripture, may I remind us that we'd love to have you because we study the Word of God, preaching and teaching the Scripture verse by verse, what's called expository preaching. And then our singing, we sing songs that you can hear the words of the songs, and the songs are always honoring and uplifting for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that's the kind of church you're looking for, we'd love to have you come and worship with us even this Sunday. Let me remind us also, ladies and gentlemen, that today this portion of the broadcast of Let's Face the Issues is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time, an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking for your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has equipment for the homeowner, brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment. It has a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff to tell you how to use them, especially in the hurricane season. They can answer all your questions about backup power. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, where the gigantic American flag flies 24/7. And you can look Tools for Time up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we have this broadcast each day, it's based on a Q&A broadcast format. That means that you have the privilege and the opportunity of calling in, asking your questions, and allowing us to have dialogue and discussion with you on the issues that we're faced with and that we're discussing day by day. Let me remind you that call-in telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about impacting lives for eternity. Now, I know multitudes fail to recognize that our lives intersect with the lives of others, and as such, we impact lives of others for eternity. I've heard people say, well, it doesn't matter what I do, what I say, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, I'm an island unto myself, and my life doesn't affect anyone else. Remember the Apostle Paul throughout the Scripture says, mimic me, follow me, because I'm following Christ. And so whether we like it or not, whether we realize it or not, whether we're setting a good example or not for others to follow, others are watching our lives and following our lives. Our lives should be lived in such a fashion that we impact lives for eternity. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that our lives are telling a story. We're writing a book. We're leaving a legacy. And our lives should impact lives of others with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I encourage you today, as you're listening to this broadcast, pick up the telephone, call others, friends, relatives, family members, acquaintances, and neighbors. Encourage them to join in this dialogue and discussion today. That telephone number again is 831-0917. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, too many times a Christian may feel somehow, some way, my life doesn't count. I'm insignificant. My life is inconsequential. Some might even say, well, I'm not a pastor, preacher, or teacher. I'm not a theologian. So therefore, I can't impact lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to put that thought aside. If you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, your life can, is, and shall impact the lives of others, whether we realize it or not, we're doing so. But wait a minute. As we study the lives of those in the Scripture, I don't know about you, but I have always been intrigued with those life stories that we find in the Scripture. As you study the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation, you find that it's not candy-coated, sugar-coated. It's simply the real lives of those that ultimately found Christ, ultimately served the Lord, and ultimately surrendered to what God would have them to do. One of the greater of those, as I see it, and I use that term, not minusculizing the lives of some, but the Apostle Paul. We have 27 New Testament books. The Apostle Paul was the human author of 14 of those 27 New Testament books. Yes, I believe that Paul was the human author for the book of Hebrews, though you can open your Bible and many will say, in most of the Scriptures, it will say author unknown. I believe that author is very real and very relevant. Studied the book of Hebrews, recognized Pauline writing and his style, and that's exactly what I find. That's just my position. Yours may be different. But I want us to understand, as we study the lives of men like Paul, we must recognize that prior to his being Paul the Apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus. I've said Saul of Tarsus had his PhD from the University of Tarsus, and that's just a little quip of mine, because he was an intelligent man. He was a learned person. He was one that was very, very brave for his faith. He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee, and yet Saul thought he was pleasing God by persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that he could find any of those of the way." The way is talking about Christianity. "Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." He hated the church. He hated Christians. And he believed, as you look at his testimony, and I like looking at the testimony of men of old like that, as he shared his testimony, he said he thought he was doing that which pleased the Lord. He was doing that which pleased God. And he said that in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 6. He talked about he was a blue-blooded Jew. He talked about the fact that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he talked about what he had done, but he did so in ignorance, he said. But then the following verses, verse 7 and following, he says, "But he counted all of that for naught, for dung." That means refuge. He counted it all as refuge that he might win Christ, that he might have Christ, that he might know Christ. He met the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior. Jesus Christ changed Saul's life. Saul of Tarsus became Paul, the great apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us of what happened when he got saved, when he said yes to Jesus Christ. He reminds us that he surrendered everything that the world has to offer, counted it as refuge that he might have Christ as Savior and as Lord. He gave up his old passions. He left off his lost ways. His life was changed, and he sacrificially served the Lord Jesus Christ from that day forward. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul never stopped telling his life story. The Apostle Paul never stopped telling what his life was like before he got saved, how he got saved, and what he did after he got saved. That's what you call a testimony of salvation, a testimony of our life story. And we're all writing a book. We're leaving a legacy. We're leaving a life story. his Road to Damascus confrontation with Jesus. All of Saul's ministry was, all of the Apostle Paul's ministry after that was sharing his life story, giving his personal testimony. By the way, as I've told people so many times down through the years, Paul didn't have 3 points and a poem in his messages. He simply shared his life story of how he got saved and what he did in saying yes to Jesus Christ. He told people, as the old song says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And that's the story. If you're saved today, ladies and gentlemen, that's the story that we ought to be telling people. I get a little weary with these that focus on all that happened in their lives in the background, but do not make the transition of getting saved, how they got saved, and how their lives have been turned around. Ladies and gentlemen, God calls every believer, and I believe I'm talking to some today. Perhaps you're listening today. God's calling you, if you're saved, God's calling you, first of all, unto salvation, secondly, unto service. And if you're saved today, he wants your life to impact lives for eternity. That's what we're here for. That's the purpose of our life. That's the rationale behind God saving us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's giving a personal testimony. That means that Paul was telling others about Christ. And I find it fascinating, and time won't allow the broadcast to read all that I'd love to from the Word of God. But in your leisure study, Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 26, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 15. Acts chapter 26, Paul has been caught and bound and brought to King Agrippa to be heard because of his preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You had the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. And I always say that's the reason they're sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But the Apostle Paul had the privilege of trying to lead King Agrippa to faith in Jesus Christ. And he did so by giving his life story. He did so by telling his testimony. He did so by sharing with King Agrippa what his life was like before he got saved. And this is some of the things he said. You can look at it in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 10, 11, and 12. Read those verses. I've paraphrased them for us for this broadcast. Paul says, I was a strict Jew. I was a Pharisee. He's talking to King Agrippa. He's giving his life story. He's giving his personal testimony. He said, I shut up Christians in prison. I put Christians to death. I testified against Christians. I persecuted believers. I blasphemed against them and the church and the name of Christ. I persecuted believers and chased them as far as I could chase them, even into other cities. I had the authority to kill believers, and I had that authority in my vest pocket, if you will, from the chief priest. Paul said, but then, King Agrippa, I met Jesus Christ. You find that in chapter 26, verse 13 and 14, and I will take the privilege of reading those few verses there for just a moment. In chapter 26 of the book of Acts, in verses 13 and following, the Apostle Paul said this, at midday, O King Agrippa, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which I journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, verse 15, Paul speaking, I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, but arise and stand upon thy feet. Ladies and gentlemen, Saul of Tarsus met the Savior in his resurrected, glorified Shekinah glory. And Saul of Tarsus said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? The word Lord is the word kurios. It means owner, master, controller. And he asked Jesus Christ, what would you have me to do? Called him Lord. That's indicative of the fact that that is the point and place where Saul of Tarsus became Paul, the great apostle, and said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And Paul then went on to point out to King Agrippa the king's of, claims of Christ upon his life and challenged him to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You can read that for yourself in Acts chapter 26, verse 21 through 29. Ladies and gentlemen, before salvation, testimony before salvation, testimony how you got saved, testimony the life after salvation, that is giving a testimony of our relationship to Jesus Christ. And we need to do that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to do that without any fear or favor, because that can lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. I never will forget a number of years ago when I was still on the road in full-time evangelism, had the privilege to stand on the front porch down in, and I was traveling from Georgia at the time, on the front porch of a home in Orlando. It was pouring rain. The pastor that was with me, the two of us got soaking wet. The gentleman opened the door, and I introduced myself, and I said, "We're standing here getting soaking wet. We've come to simply tell you about Jesus." The man with big old eyes said, "Well, come on in. Get out of the rain." We had the privilege of presenting the claims of Christ in his life, and he said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Now, what did I do? I told him about my life story, about my life before salvation and after salvation, and what I'm doing in serving Christ now. And that's what we're doing today. Ladies and gentlemen, we have as our guest today, with Let's Face the Issues, we have a gentleman that I believe will be, you need to hear and listen intently and listen willingly, of this man's testimony. We have today an individual, Bob Reed. Bob was introduced by way of Unshackled on the program. If you ever listened to Unshackled, I recommend it to you. Unshackled program number 2653. And they entitled that program "A Classic Rock and Roll Singer Seeking Meaning, Seeking Truth in His Life, Found Jesus." Bob, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Delighted to have you with us today. Bob, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little overview, and then we're going to break it down and talk about it in parts up until the breaking point for the break of our broadcast, and then come back after the news. But right now, we want to do some introductory things and get on the subject of who Bob is and something about his background. Bob loves the Lord. He's serving the Lord. He's been involved in a number of things, and I'll just give you the overview. Bob came out of the rock and roll singing background back in the 60s and the 70s, had his own rock and roll band. Then Bob was involved in a number of other areas, but has spent many, many years in his working life as a chaplain in prisons. Had this privilege. Bob, what was it, 20-some-odd years?
40.
40 years, okay.
40 years.
I'd cut it in half.
Yeah, 40 years.
40 years in the prison ministry and as a prison chaplain, being able to minister to prisoners behind bars. He was involved also in Teen Challenge and still has some connectivity with that. He's had his life story given two or three times on Unshackled, a broadcast two times on broadcast on Unshackled. And I've not heard it on Unshackled, but I've had reports to me about that. Bob, tell us something about your growing up years. Tell us something about your home life prior to getting saved, living in the home. Tell us something about that. Just set the stage for our listeners.
Okay. Well, I'm an 80-year-old fella.
Okay? You're young.
Yeah, I feel that way. And that's the blessing of God, to be, you know, to have this age, to have this mileage, and still feel young.
Yeah.
Other than having to pace yourself somewhat, but I feel great. Have a wonderful wife. And
she's sitting here in the studio with us, keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, she's there.
Yeah.
But regarding the question that you asked, my home life, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio originally, and my mother and my father, they were working people. And I was born in 1938. So anyway, they worked hard. But after 7 years, they were divorced. And you know, this is most interesting, although it's so long ago. I was 7 years old when they were divorced. But I can see my father still. I could see him leaving on a bus, I believe it was. And my sister was 2 years younger than I. And that was kind of a devastating thing. I can't remember all the feelings now, you know, that I felt as a child. But I do remember it was devastating. And my mother, at that point, she had me go live with my grandmother. And so my grandmother, as well as my grandmother had a lot to do in my early life, being an influence. She was not a Christian yet. Very, very sweet lady from Germany, but very loving. And so I lived with her, kind of back and forth some. Then 2 years later, my mom remarried. By the way, I might say my real father, he became a Christian years later, but he was not at that point. It's interesting, his God that he worshipped was working out, health food. He didn't drink. He didn't have any of those vices. But they divorced, and then my mother married a man who was an alcoholic. Well, then I was back living with them. That brought devastation into my life more. I can remember my stepfather really preferring my sister quite a bit. She was very beautiful, and but occasionally, not always, but occasionally, I would be told by my stepfather, "You're dumb and you're stupid." And you know, as a child, words do hurt.
Absolutely.
And so I guess I kind of bought into that, you know, thinking that. And I lived with them. We moved in different places. He was in business. My mother was in business. And in and out of schools, and very unhappy. So unhappy that I went to the ninth grade. I completed the ninth grade, but I quit school in the ninth grade. And my stepfather said, this was actually a good thing. He said, "What are you going to do about a job or whatever?" And I hadn't thought about that. And he said, "Well, if you're going to quit school, you're going to work."
The dirty four-letter word, W-R-K,
yes.
Work.
And so that's one thing that I can say was actually, it helped me to become realistic early on that if I was going to quit school, I was going to be responsible, had to buy my own car, my own insurance, and I might add as well. This is important. I didn't quit school because I used to say I hate school. That's what I said. But you know, as I look back now, I didn't hate school. I hated my life. My life had no meaning. I didn't know what direction I was going in. And I didn't find any plan or any purpose for my life. So what happened as a result of that, after getting my car and all, and then being so happy, unhappy at home, I love my mom, but she took a lot from my stepfather. And I was just miserable there, and he didn't treat her well. And so I said, "I'm moving out." And, you know, I found in my life that happiness truly is determined, if that's what we're looking at, happiness, that is basically determined by circumstances.
Yes.
And so I didn't know that I needed joy. I didn't know that I needed...
The vast difference.
Yeah. But... you know, not being able to signify that, I said, "Well, I'm not happy, and I'm moving out." And we lived in a very nice home. My mother and my stepfather, we always did. Not a mansion, but they hired and fired. They were in business, and they were wishing that I would go in that direction. Well, I was not interested at all. And excuse me, my mother. I forgot to mention this, she was in music. She sang in Carnegie Hall. She was an opera for 12 years. I went to recitals. And so I found out early on that I could sing. And so when I left the house, I was living at that time in Evansville, Indiana, right as far south as you get in Indiana. And then the only thing below that is the Ohio River. And then you're in the state of Kentucky. And so I, having left the house, I had met a fella, and he was a musician. And so we began to form a band, a rock and roll band, and then I needed a place to stay. And so he introduced me to a guy who was a drummer. And shortly thereafter, this group came together. And isn't it the strangest thing? I was not saved, did not know the Lord, but I was thinking, well, now, Bob, you've got to have a name for this band. So we were thinking, what are we going to call ourselves? And back in the 50s, it was a lot of the groups were called Somebody and the Somebodies.
That's like, right.
Buddy
Holly, I recall those days.
And the Crickets, you know, and Dion and the Belmonts. Well, so we came up with, I think I did, came up with Bob Reed and the Creations.
Bob Reed and the Creations. Bob, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned into Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing today Bob Reed. Bob Reed comes out of the background of rock and roll music, a prison chaplain, and multitudes of other things. Before we go into the break time, I want to take a moment, and he just introduced the fact that he had just started his band. It's a rock and roll band. I want you to hear just a 10 or 15, 20 seconds of some of the music that he was in that era, and then we'll come back and wrap it up for the top of the hour and then come back after that and finish up his testimony today. I want you to hear it. Listen carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Bob Reed. Bob Reed, and just introduced the fact that they had started a rock and roll band. Bob, finished just a little. We've got about 1 minute before our news break time, and then after a minute, we'll come back on the air. Share with us a little about starting that band and what happened in that area before we take our break.
Okay. Well, there were four of us, and the most unusual thing about this band, we did not drink. None of us smoked. Yes, I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I got drunk once in my life. I did not like it. In fact, I fell out of the car drunk, and thank goodness I wasn't arrested or anything like that. But my buddies, this was before the band. They took me home and put me to bed. Well, I had no use for alcohol, and so that one time did not start me off on alcohol. But the most unusual thing about my band, God already was working in my band, and two of the parents of two of the band members were born-again Christians, and they had, although it seemed to be very small, they had an effect upon my life.
An influence on your life.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for station identification and the news time. Immediately after the news, don't turn your dial, don't leave your set. In just a moment, we'll come back. We're interviewing today Bob Reed. Bob Reed from a rock and roll background and for 40 years as a prison chaplain. We're going to be listening to his testimony after the break.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.